And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Before I bring in my splendid colleague guest, Daniel Germario, let me just weave a smidge of context. I do think of this as our pre-Halloween scariest election ever show. To me, maybe some people aren't scared, but we're going to compost that. But I have props from our ally, wonderful Dory Midnight. I have her witches, bitches, and hoes tincture. And as she said, for the protection, healing, and guidance of all shapeshifters, edgewalkers, dwellers between worlds, revolutionaries, gender magicians, sluts, priestesses, healers, and witches, this elixir connects us to the invisible web of support from those who walked before and shines a light on our paths so we can walk with courage to bring healing to a broken world. It deflects projections, fear, and hatred, and cloaks us in a cape of radiant protection. All right, I'm just telepathically taking a little swig of that myself. On behalf of all of us, there we go, and we can send that out. I also have her splendid formula, Boundaries in a Bottle. I'm just spraying that around. There we go, for everybody. And from Lucky Mojo, I have the New Orleans Fast Luck Ointment, and Hi John the Conqueror. Remember that Hi John the Conqueror, the great trickster redeemer from the South, who finds a way out of no way and hits a straight lick with a crooked stick. And, you know, a wonderful Zora Neale Hurston wrote about him, but he's a trickster redeemer. He's interested in liberating the land, the enslaved, and even the tyrant who has hardened his heart. We aspire to be such. Oh, we do. We know that Halloween is rounded off, but it is one of the four cross-quarter holidays, exact mid-season, called one of the four gates of power, where power is especially eager to be invited from backstage to participatory onstage, dedicated acts of beauty and magic. We offer a template, our Day of the Dead altars, whatever we want to do, for help to pour on in. There we go. So right now, as the sun is at 11 plus Scorpio, which is the convening of the Renaissance Council, not by snooty elitism, but just to who brought what to this, you know, and this model also of being America's and world's combination insane psychotic breakdown, reverent Renaissance. Take your pick. And so we go, everyone listening, our dedicated listeners and splendid guests and everybody, you know, who brought what to this renaissance of reverent ingenuity rising from the rubble, and things are pretty out of control. So without further ado, here's a little bit of further ado. True Halloween will be on November 7th when the sun is exact mid-season, 15 plus Scorpio, but we're extending it to the election because it is it's spooky time. So it is more than perfect as the moon quintiles Neptune again, the whole realm that all of us cultivate, metaphoric and mythological literacy, and that strategic cultural advantage goes to those cultivating intimacy with the power of symbols and connecting across worlds. So perfectly, there we go. We welcome, again, the return of fellow astro-mytho-cultural change ally Daniel Germario, who is jet-lagged, but there he is in pre-dawn Philippines, that we may inaugurate the guiding story of humans rejoining the choreography of creation. We may do some poring over the charts of candidates' election inauguration for any glimmer of guiding sanity and our magical responsibility to dissipate the Dementors of Doom, who are frolicking, highly visible now. So welcome, Daniel.
Oh, thank you, Caroline. What a marvelous introduction. It certainly requires as much magic as we can conjure up at this point.
Right.
And thank you for bringing up about the cross-border. It also, another fascinating thing about that is that it also, at this time in history now, represents the rising of the star Spica from the underworld, used to happen back in August, but due to precession, now it comes up exactly at Halloween. And so I think it's a good harbinger of the rebirth of the sacred feminine, because actually many of the old ceremonies that were that the Catholic Church then took as their own had to do with the pattern of Spica, which is the stellar stand-in for Venus. So we also have her rising from the underworld during these next few days, and pretty directly at the time of the election.
Oh, thank God.
So we need all the allies we can get, as you so...
We do. We need everything. It's humbling. It's humbling. And I just, you know, you have been, you know, on your global tour and just got back to the Philippines. We want to honor the complexity because you have some liberating thoughts in that realm. But you'd said, you know, you weren't completely up to date on America's insanity.
Well, I've actually been following it. I have a particularly interesting experience of having been a month in the UK right after Brexit. And having pretty much everybody there, both in Ireland, Scotland, and Ireland, you and England, the first thing out of their mouth always is, "What about Donald Trump?" And then when we were up in Scotland, it turns out that that's where Trump's mother is from. Is from Stornoway.
Oh.
And they had this, the newspaper article there that was very interesting. It said, we have absolutely no idea what to do. This part of the world, we really pride ourselves in not boasting about ourselves we were very humble people. And what have we spawned? We feel so ashamed. We have no idea what to do. Please, I hope he never comes back here. You know, so yeah, that was right next to Callanish, where his mother's from.
Right, and we don't hear about his mother much. Maybe she was locked in a basement. He only talks about his dad.
Right. So that's Stornoway, right there by Callanish, and it was just, what have we spawned? So that was the headline.
Well, we might if she was locked in a basement before her departure from this world, we might want to invite her back, going, come like mother wolves, sometimes just, you know, gently put their teeth around a misbehaving cub's throat, going, that would be good, because I think we want to invite in. I mean, as we've all noticed, you know. Something rather important, the most important thing really, has not been invited in what passes for public discourse in any mainstream kind of way in this debate, which is the earth. And so I think she is eager to be invited to express herself, as the Council of Unreasonable Women years ago, I encouraged them. I go, you know, in the spirit of indigenous people, let's invite Yucca Mountain to express her opinion about nuclear waste being stored underneath. And the next day, earthquakes under Yucca Mountain, and we don't presume status or harumphitude or even causation, but we go, oh, come on in, witty earth, in as least a harmful way as possible. We know so much is brewing, but, you know, oh, lightning striking Trump Tower would be witty, or whatever you think, anyway. So Scotland's embarrassed. Yes, bless its magical and its witch burning thing. You know, there's the Inquisition part of it, I think, kind of coming through Trump. But the news reports, on one level, there's much beauty and kindness and our beautiful Standing Rock allies, protectors. Again, a good move, you know, throwing the word protester into the cauldron, because that meant grabbing your testes. I mean, it really did. And protector is so much more apt, and, you know, global support for that. But, you know, I was just listening to Rachel Maddow, whom I've almost forgiven for her ill treatment of Bernie. There's an insane summoning of demonic, racist, murderous hatred up, increasing now, as well as good things.
I actually tend to follow the as many different news sources I can, but I get all the reports from websites like Counterpunch and Liberty Blitzkrieg and Global Strategy, different, which give a very interesting, much more detailed view of the what's happening with the FBI and the Clinton Foundation, which is just fascinating stuff that doesn't appear on the mainstream at all. And my sense is, and I just was looking forward to this talking with you just to get your take on what's going on. But I get a feeling that the so-called the powers that shouldn't be are actually at war with themselves, that there are two completely different factions among the powers that shouldn't be, that it keeps going back and forth, and they don't know at this point what they're doing.
Well, that's true. I mean, let's bring in, you know, some of the more heartening, bigger story. I like that. Uranus trickster retrograde on stationing at the end of the year going forward, but its image right now is 21 Aries, the gateway to the garden of all desired things. So it says underneath all the cuckoo-ness, somehow we're going in the right direction, right next to Ceres, Demeter, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth, and of course lined up with actual planet Eris, goddess of disruption, mm-hmm. way out there in the Kuiper Belt, not going anywhere fast, 500-year orbit. So we go, and where, all of us as public dreamers, where would we like disruption in service to greater authenticity and harmony? And maybe what you just brought up is kind of part of that, going, yes, let all the two parties collapse, but I do have an opinion about what we should do on election day, but we'll come around to that, going, I just want to get to the next horrible problem. I want the utter repudiation of Trump and all that he represents. And then we'll get to the horrible thing. But yes, we like the Democratic Party and the Republican Party collapsing in the fullness of time in slightly different sequencing for my vote. But yes, wherever you want to go with the Eris goddess of disruption taking it down.
Well, if we want the absolute destruction of characters like Trump, at the beginning of the year in our school, the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School, we do a look ahead to the following year. It's something we have as a benefit to our membership. And when I looked at Trump's chart, I basically said, here we have the completely unbridled, without checks and balances, beginner Leo, Mars and Leo, ascendant 29 Leo, star Regulus. And there's nothing on the chart that looks like it could bring him down except for, and I said this at the beginning of the year, Saturn conjunct Venus. It will be the women who bring him down. That's
definitely
his Achilles heel, and that's really played out quite profoundly. It's not so easy for a guy who's not willing to do his own spiritual work to have Saturn conjunct Venus in Cancer, and it's actually been the feminine that has in fact brought him down, and in this particular Venus cycle that we're in, you know, the synodic cycle of Venus. We're talking about the Leo integrated, the archetype of Leo, as far as what is taking place within the framework of the feminine. And that's the expression of the solar feminine, or the Amazon, or the Amazon queen, or the fully empowered sovereign feminine that can make it up any way she wants and is willing to tell the truth.
Yes, and in that sense of kind of metaphoric biomimicry, you know, the actual storms getting bigger, and then because nature creates a spiral to resolve conflicts, and so we're giving so much imbalance, you know. But I go, it's a storm of women, which is why you've probably heard, even in your travels, the fantastic video and song of Pussy Grabs Back. Have you heard this?
No, I'm not. Sorry.
Well, you will hear it at our break, because we're going to play it at the break music, because it's a slightly cleaned up version. There's just a couple words we had to bleep out, but it's really great, and the video is wonderful as well. But a storm of the fierce feminine going, no, Pussy Grabs Back, no matter what. And then the discerning between, yes, I know many listeners, yes, okay, the sketchy and corrupt aspects of Hillary Clinton, she's a Scorpio, what can you say, you know, it's a complicated deal. However, to discern the difference between, accurate critique and misogynistic hatred, because they're all mixed up together in this symbolism. My former husband was born 1 week before Trump, so he had the Venus-Saturn, almost at the same time, Venus-Saturn conjunction, and what you said was brilliant, you know, he can't hire women to do his spiritual life. That was what former husband kind of tried to do, and then did his own damn spiritual work. So that was well stated, Daniel.
Some men will be forced to have to do that to integrate their feminine side. But for him, he just expected women to serve him continuously, and they basically just finally said, "Enough is enough." You know, we're calling out your shadow, the belief that you can do anything you want at any time because you are the king.
I wanted to bring in, you know, a wonderful ally Sylvia Scully, astrologer that I've known for a bazillion years. But she's been introduced me to declination, and just now Mars was out of bounds, right? Meaning way north of the ecliptic, and on Halloween it just came inbounds, and she said this could calm down some of the vitriol. And when Trump was born, Mercury was out of bounds, right? And that kind of makes sense. And now for all of us, Venus is out of bounds. I prefer Venus being out of bounds to Mars. But she'd also said years ago, you know, when astrologers look at things and go, oh, trines, harmony, you know, by transit, sextiles, she goes, no, the trines and sextiles are really like greased lightning, and they work best for people who have a kind of deep introspection, who've kind of worked it. Otherwise, one is possessed. And I want to toss this, I find, important metaphor of possession to you, because I think it's really useful. When I stepped out of the Republican convention, I went to both on your behalf. I just felt that the most apt metaphoric reality was that Trump is possessed by a cunning, demonic retrovirus, and you can see it when it leaves him, and he just sort of goes, and then when it gleams and glints. So I'm, you know, without getting all paranoid and everything, I think possession is useful, you know, the atmosphere of possession,
I'm glad you brought up about the out of bounds. Most people among astrologers that I know only are aware of how that works with the moon.
Uh-huh.
But it is true that whenever Venus or Mars happen to be in the solstice-oriented signs, late Sag, early Capricorn, then they can, in fact, go out of bounds. And this has been a particularly significant out-of-bounds passage for Mars. And now Venus, has just entered into out-of-bounds status. And Mercury will be by the end of November, and that creates before the end of November, and that creates quite a series of wild cards of planets operating outside of their normal approach. I completely agree with what you said about the trines and sextiles, and it's kind of what I was alluding to regarding a chart like Trump's, where there really are no breaks to the unbridled Leo aspect of this chart.
Right.
And if the trines and sextiles allow, or without squares, meaning no squares or conjunctions or oppositions to that part of the chart, this is kind of an unbridled Leo, then that is like a possession. Then the individual is completely captured by the shadow of the, it's in the field of the archetype. It's much more helpful if a person has this much intent to be Leo, has some breaks to it, so they have some opportunity to have some kind of humility, some kind of humbleness, some kind of tragedy or trauma in their life that would have them learn deeper spiritual lessons, and so they can actually be an authentic version of Leo. And that didn't happen for him.
Well, you taught me so much and continue to about the Venus cycle and the reemerging, and that, you know, in Mesoamerica, that's Quetzalcoatl, and the mm-hmm. terrible historic mistake that on the day that Quetzalcoatl was to return, that's when Cortez, the thug, showed
right.
up, and they mistook the man for the divine leadership. And during the Republican convention, it was the same pattern, right? Venus was just emerging from the underworld in Leo. So people were mistaking Trump for the king they yearned for. And it's like, no, that, which is why mythological literacy. It's like, no, the king and the leader within each person's heart. No, not an external. Anyway, so it's a mad romp. But what's been said is, Trump has spewed the worst aspects of David Duke, who's now running with him, really, white separatist. Trump is on the cover of the Ku Klux Klan magazine. It's like, in case anybody didn't know how insane this was, the normalization of hatred, the railing against Jews, and the bigotry, and the misogyny, and the Duke and other people saying, Hillary should be electrocuted. I mean, that's the word they're using, and it's like, and so I just want mythic headlines going, Earth repudiates Trump, and we'll get to Hillary, later, December, so there is this, unbelievable every aspect, and yet, someday in your spare time you may be able to see these completely splendid, you will like it, Stark humor show, Brain Dead, because it's a brilliant metaphor, and it says, when people are kind of taken over by, these insects from outer space. But it's a great metaphor. They begin to write only in capitals, na-na-na-na-na, and they're angry all the time. Left-wing, right-wing, doesn't matter, and it's just kind of a symptom, and we go, ooh, there's a lot. Yeah, so we're gathering now so we can all calm down, because it's a very hot field. You're jet lagged in the Philippines, so you're not wired into the American stress level, right?
Well, I just left a few days ago. I was in Los Angeles for 6 days before I left.
Well,
definitely. And I'm talking to people about it all the time. I'm checking all these other different alternative sources to understand what is taking place, and also feeling into how people in the U.S. are feeling about all this. And I think you captured it beautifully in your opening words there. It is it's going crazy. I mean, it's a situation that people are either involved in it and are feeling crazy, or people are just not wanting to be involved but are feeling like something really big is about to happen. Could be the most significant change in the United States in our lifetimes as far as what was likely to happen from this, regardless of who quote wins. I have a feeling that that whatever happens between now and the election, that there's going to be a lot of other stuff that happens before the so-called inauguration. There's never been two candidates that have been people are only voting because they don't like the other one.
I know. it's been a bitter, complex, grown-upifying conundrum, regret is one of the most useless emotions ever, but just to indulge it for a moment, when I stepped out of Cleveland, I'm like, oh man, the demonic, only Bernie can say, but I'm willing to go where he's going, and I want the Bernie-crats elected, and great ally Pramila Jaipur in Washington State, and Zephyr. There's some really fabulous, at least 13 Bernie-crats, because also for sanity and for some modicum of respect, oh churlish progressives, to Obama. We can't have the first black president hand the reins to this hate monger, the most racist, one of the most racist, opportunist racists. I don't think he actually even believes anything. Possessed by one of the worst kind of demons ever to walk the earth. What can we say? Yeah, and the normalization, but I do want to speak of and toss it to you, the demonic. Oh wait, let me just bring up one other crucial thing. Well, black churches are being burned, right, with Trump graffiti on them. I mean, who knows, layers of complexity in Greenville, Mississippi, the Hopewell Baptist Church, hatred spiraling, but beautiful goodness. They did a GoFundMe. They said, $10,000 to help rebuild our church, $91,000 within 2 hours. Great goodness in humans, but there is There's a guy who shows up who's recognized by Trump at all of his rallies. He's a black guy holding a sign, you know, blacks for Trump, you know, the biblical quote, you know. He's part of something called the Yahweh bin Yahweh black separatist murder cult. They actually murdered 14 people. This guy was indicted but acquitted, so we don't know. But he is way crazy. Possessed, demonic, we're chosen ones of God, you know, whacked out by hatred, hatred spiraling, you know, and this is the representative that Trump embraces and, you know, does all these things and goes, oh, Lordy, it's amazing. So anyway, there's that, and to go country insane. demons. So to turn to wizardry, radio magic we can do now and after the break, you know, but great ally,
I'll throw something else on the table here.
Okay, that's good.
Since you followed up my comment about the Venus cycle, it does turn out that moon Venus conjunction from a couple of nights ago or last night there in the U.S. That is the fourth gate. Basically, in the Venus cycle, there are these different chakra gates. In the way the Venus cycle operates, morning star, evening star, this being the evening star, radiant phase of Venus, it happens to be the fourth one of them since she rose from the underworld. And there is a view of this that the seven gates, the seven veils, the seven vestments that Inanna must give up when she goes into the underworld, and when she comes back from the underworld and then retrieves these seven vestments, we're now at the fourth chakra gate. So it's basically a heart chakra opening that is in fact possible. So, you know, just as I was mentioning about Spica, the stand-in for Venus in the stellar world, rising from the underworld. Here we have Venus in the sky with Saturn, with the moon at the fourth chakra gate. So I'm putting on the table the invocation associated with the opening of the heart in the midst of the hatred.
Beautiful. That's really heartening. And then also, you know, Jupiter right now at 11 plus Libra overhead in California. You know, the Sabian symbol for that is coal miners emerging from a dark pit into the sunlight. Good. Let's do that. That is Hillary Clinton's Neptune. We want to be full of critique, but we don't want it to trump our magic that whatever we speak to in another. And I go, Jupiter's right on her Neptune. You know, she hasn't been good on story and vision, you know, but we could see that thing part of her, you know. What if we were willing, not counting, not expecting, easy audience, that she ironically could be somebody who leads us away from coal, having been the annoying fracking, more than annoying, the sociopathic fracking queen. We go, well, it's right there. We might as well animate that possibility, going, you know, willing to be surprised, Nixon and China, whatever. So I just wanted to, you know, toss that out as well. We're going to take a very short break in about a minute, but you will get to hear
just
the wonderful...
I'll follow up on that, which is that I just noticed that on the election day, the moon in Pisces, right? And so Hillary, regardless of the controversy about her birth time now that's in the air, it is still definitely a Pisces moon. So actually on the election day itself, the moon in Pisces, hopefully activating that core thing in her lineage, which is about compassion, and it still shines through with at least her words regarding her care about children and women. You know, it's just the one element that she continually refers to about why she should be president, not any of the other stuff.
Right. Well, the moon does start off in Aquarius at dawn, which many astrologers do dawn on November 8th, 6:48 a.m. But the sun is at 16 Scorpio, which is her Venus, which is a woman made fertile by her own spirit, going, yeah, you could get elected and you could divorce Bill, you know, whatever. Because another friend of mine said this election's all about really, like, really terrible marriages and bad relationships. You know, Anthony Weiner intending to take Hillary and Huma down with him by putting, you know, toxic emails in a lockbox and blackmailing or whatever. And then there's, you know, the Clintons' weird marriage, and then there's Trump's weird thing. We'll come back to that, because that's a Mars kind of Venus analysis. There's many kinds of newses that we want. But my splendid guest is Daniel Gemario. And also, we will be doing, yes, you just said you could do this, on Monday night, I have Trickster Training Council, which convenes every Monday night. But this night will be election eve, and so I'm inviting Daniel to co-cahoot with me, as well as our council members, and opening it up to anybody, you know, who wants to join us. We will be posting that soon at Coyote Network News, because we're just cooking it up now. But that would be a great time to gather for prayer and dedication and dissipating demons and calming ourselves down and all of that. And now here we go to a very short break, and here comes Pussy Grabs Back.
Pussy. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Pussy.
You're having by the pussy.
Pussy grabs back.
You're having by the pussy.
Pussy grabs back.
You're having by the pussy.
Pussy grabs back.
You're having by the pussy.
Pussy grabs back. We've been saying it for years, but you've been blocking up your ears. Until a man does it, and now you're all shocked. That stupid look on your face, as you look on in disgrace. You know on November 8th, this vote is getting rocked. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Tired of your staff, sexist stacks. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. If it's unclear, we'll no longer demure. We won't hold your secrets in our feminine pockets. We're not your daughters, your wives. We're humans with lives. And on November 8th, we're gonna rock it. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. You've outlived your third act. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy, 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 pussy. The man's been racist up, but now he's run out of luck. If pussy is his downfall, we'll take it. And if you think it's still strong, go home, you're drunk. Leave the voting to the big girls, not the rapists. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. You think you're under attack? Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, CoyoteNetworkNews.com, because my splendid guest, Daniel Gemario, fellow astro-mytho-cultural change ally, will be cahooting with me Monday night. It's the night when my Trickster Training Council convenes by phone or web, and it will be the night before election, November 7th, so Daniel has agreed to join me, and we're opening it up to whoever wants to gather, you know, sane reverence and calm and do effective magic and invite in whatever is truly best for everybody. It is true, we will probably not be an elect Jill Stein rally, so if that would disappoint you, then this might not be for you. But this is like discerning strategy. There we go. Okay, all right, anyway. So Daniel Gemario is our guest. And do you like the website shamanicastrology.com as the best way people can find you?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, that would be the best. There is also a Shamanic Astrology Facebook page also.
Oh, excellent. Yes, of course.
The main website, that other one you put in is one that I attempted to build back in 2012, but I've never had time to update it. It has a lot of nice photo galleries on it, but yeah, it's best to go to the shamanicastrology.com site.
Right. And so it's splendid that we will continue our conversational cahooting and wondering how to be most effective and actually pragmatic mystics at this time on Monday night. Again, daylight savings time will have changed, so that gathering will be at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday, November 7th, and you can find out more about that at coyotenetworknews.com pretty soon. We're posting pretty soon. But yes, Daniel, wherever we want to go here, looking at the election chart, the inauguration chart, yes.
Well, one thing that I wanted to just put on the table, which is something I've been watching all year, I like to use Rajar's rectification of the U.S. chart. I mean, I'm talking about the 1776 chart, July 4th, that one, and which generates a 13 degrees, 11 minutes Sagittarius rising sign.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically over these last 6, 7, 8 months, it's been the Saturn transit to the U.S. ascendant, based on that chart. And I think that's particularly significant if you look at what has just happened in the last few weeks, which was the final pass of Saturn over the 13th, 14th degree of Sagittarius. And to me, it truly represents a wake-up call. The way I interpret that is that Saturn teaches us how to grow, change, and evolve via limitations and boundaries. So it's actually it's a test toward one's maturation. And if one hasn't, then you hit the boundaries, hit the wall. The U.S. chart, as is its future potential, what we in our school call the Sagittarius job and the Sagittarius tribe, north node of the moon in the house of Sagittarius, ninth house. So it's completely Sagittarian, which is about telling the truth and being on the side of meaning and purpose and adventure and philosophy and exploration, not its shadow evil twin, which is fundamentalism and, you know, the belief in, we're not, the cut of the monolithic, we're number one.
I like working with my colleague Patricia Ewing, who used to work deeply in politics and is now actually canvassing in Pennsylvania, bless her heart. But in our Monday council past, when I was feeling just kind of like, she got on the line going, "I'm having a blast." And I go, what? Other people were texting, "I'll have what she's having." She goes, "No, because everything ugly and toxic has been dredged up to the surface. It's so, it's a theater of the monstrous hidden." Like the great song Pussy Grabs Back, going, "This is not one person. This is a long, ugly thing." And in every realm, I mean, the corruption of the Democratic Party as well, and that being revealed, and the unfair treatment of Bernie, and the everything project. But the predominant thing right now is the unbelievable amount of, misogynist, violent, racist hatred and exceptionalism. Uninitiated Mars is rampant. I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that similar to what we were talking about before. I mean, Mars at 27 Leo, just about, on the ascendant, which is the exact degree of Regulus, and it's an unencumbered belief that I am the king, I am the golden boy, and it's practically as ridiculous as when Bush the younger goes around saying, "Well, I'm the decider. God told me to do it." This is at least he said God told him to. In this case, it's no, I am God.
Right.
And I can do whatever I want because I am the king, and there's nothing holding it back. I mean, without any shadow training. I mean, it's just
right.
It's all possession. All possession.
It is all possession. 24/7 and more. I do love, on Twitter and out there in the world and Facebook, a wonderful satiric artist, Mrs. Betty Bowers, America's Best Christian. She does really good work. And then just, all these Christian evangelicals who are like, "Yes, Trump, you're not troubled by anything he says." No, and then she has the clips of him, whatever, and saying, swearing and outrageous and terrible things, and then somebody asking him, "Have you ever asked God to forgive you for anything?" And he's like, no, why would I do that? Anyway, it's all ironic, as long as, as long as millions of lives don't die. We go, because there's so much on the table. I do like you know, again, against all odds and looking for, what, you know, the inauguration chart, okay, January 20th, 2017, 12 p.m., Capitol Building. It has, you know, 14-plus Taurus rising, which is, you know, a man or woman walks into town in the midst of a wild windstorm wearing a black top hat, the doctor, magician, medicine woman, man. We go, I think nature might make an appearance. You know, and, you know, no matter what, you know, I think the unifying story that gets, you know, past people's, you know, churlish, vituperative, you know, polarizing thing is we're electing the earth, we're electing flora, fauna, no matter what underneath all of this, that's what we're doing. It's, you know, bigger than humans. So anyway, can you root for that idea? Does that?
Oh, completely. Oh, yeah. Sure, absolutely. Because after all, she is in charge ultimately.
Yes.
That one, as this shaman friend of mine in Zimbabwe kept saying a couple of years ago, you know, every prayer is to that one woman. That one woman, you know, basically the universe we're in, you know, the earth and the sky that we're in is that one woman, and well, she is ultimately in charge.
Yes, and since we are in the Day of the Dead ongoing, I want to do a shout out to late great ally Jay Yarnall. Hi there. Who did send me a clip, a point out, if you Google the Kaaba, the stone in Mecca that everybody kisses, he pointed out, and it's him who's dead, so don't attack me, that in the middle of the Kaaba where everybody kisses is absolutely a silver inlaid yoni. Absolutely. It's holding the rock together, but it's absolutely very clear. And he goes, once again, it's men worshipping mom and calling it dad. That's very good, Jay Yarnall. A little shout out there. So there is a direct connection right now for energetic everybody. You don't have to believe anything, everybody. Just believe nothing, entertain possibilities. Mars in the sky right now, in a sign of its exaltation, is at 26 plus Capricorn. That is Michelle Obama's son. I really do admire her. On the inauguration chart, the midheaven is 26 plus Capricorn. So we do have a direct link now, right now, O team, just for the fun of it, entertain the possibility of energetic desire, you know, directly to the inauguration chart of January 20th, going, what does everybody desire in a responsible way, you know, to be the agenda? Put backstage for the moment the illusion and delusion of the complex and terrifying electoral process and go, no, there's larger things at work here. So, you know, so how do you like the Mars now, as we're talking right now, humming the midheaven of the inauguration chart?
Well, it brings up something else that I can throw in. I think your analysis is really good on that. Is the fact that in January, if we're looking at both the Venus and the Mars cycles, it is in January when they are seen together in the evening sky together.
Uh-huh.
And that only happens in that pattern every 6.5 years. It's what we call in our school the Great Saga. It's the way in which Venus and Mars can come together in the evening sky, and it'll be quite a gorgeous symbolism of the union of the Leo goddess or the sacred feminine and the Sagittarian masculine. I'm talking about the larger archetypes at play with the Venus and Mars story, and it's the union of the, as I mentioned, the solar feminine with the Sagittarian and honest investigator of the truth, you know, not fundamentalism, but really an inquiry into, you know, what is truth and what is meaning and purpose. And they'll be joined together in the evening sky during that time period.
Right. No
it's
matter
kind of the culmination of the dance.
That's beautiful. And no matter what, after sunset on January 20th, it will be a beautiful sky, no matter what. And as you said, Venus exalted in Pisces, you know, moving in right next to Neptune, moving into a culture of ingenious, compassionate response. That's what we got to do. Moving from a war dynamic into ingenious, compassionate response, the protection of water, all those things that are rising up. And Venus is at the Eleusinian Mysteries degree. It's the villagers witness a spectacular performance in a tent. You know, it's all right, everybody on mushrooms. And it's right next to Chiron and right next to Mars, whose degree is a reformed clergy officiates anew, rooting out corruption, right? So we go, oh, this is good. No matter what, we're inaugurating rooting out corruption, you know, and sacred ceremony. And then there's, now, you like Rudyard's, I like many charts. We like many charts. I also am very fond of the chart of America that if we turn over the back of a $100 bill, there's a clock tower on it with a very specific time. And if one does a chart for that, it gives 9 plus Scorpio rising, which I'm quite fond of. I mean, I like all of them. And that's Fellowship Supper reunites old comrades that would have Neptune. So,
have you heard that this is something I heard when I was in Los Angeles, that the new $100 bills have a different clock, a different time.
Oh, wow. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But I'll get used to it.
They changed the time on the clock.
No, that's right. Oh, Dementors. Oh, no. Well, just for the fun of it, you know, whatever we happen to love is how the universe will speak to us, you know, all these different wonderful languages. But so 9 Scorpio rising, but on the inauguration chart at the moment, the moon is at 9 Scorpio. I just like that anyway. Fellowship Supper reunites old comrades, you know, trining Neptune, going, yes, the soul of this country, what it wants to be, again, the embrace of beautiful Syrians as pilgrims who enrich anywhere they go, you know, again, you know, the embrace, the compassionate, ingenious embrace, the Fellowship Supper. So I'm just kind of going with that. Oh, but they changed the time on the $100 bill?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's somebody was giving a talk, and I think this it was at the ESAR conference. There was someone who kept interjecting that they changed the time on the $100 bill. I didn't. You have to look at it kind of with a magnifying glass.
Yeah,
it's
you do.
Definitely different with than the previous $100 bill. So yeah, there's always these.
It's the Illuminati changing the time again.
Indeed, the esoteric clues out there regarding what's going on.
They don't want to think that America has a heart somewhere in there. All right, so
But I think it's the same issue as this to this change at the last minute of Hillary's birth time. It reminds me totally of what happened in the first election of Bill. There were two different birth times floated months before the election, and then right following his election, they said, "Well, this is his real birth time," and it just so happened to be the Jupiter being right on the ascendant on the election day. You know, so now this is actually his birth chart, but two others had been floated before the election. I really don't trust any of the information that comes out regarding either of their birth times,
right?
Either Bill or Hillary.
And the new birth time, what, released by Russian hackers, who knows. So we don't really know. She gave out a 8:02 p.m. A lot of astrologers like 8:02 a.m. The new birth time would make her a Virgo rising. I don't see it.
I certainly see her more as a Scorpio rising myself.
Definitely.
But what Mark Tenfield is the one who allegedly came up with I did the research and I've got the records and he basically withheld that information until just before the conference as a ploy to promote the panel that they had there where they were going to quote predict the outcome of the election.
Oh, I hate that. excuse me.
I called that up. But anyway, 2:18 a.m. is what he claims now to be the actual time.
Because God told him? I mean, what?
I don't know. It was quite controversial at the conference. And it was, of course, everyone in every panel predicted Clinton to be victorious using every last known technique of predictive forecasting techniques from all around the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's an interesting conundrum, you know, because I am not partial to prediction, which comes from the same word predicament.
No.
And if we could predict, well, you know, why you couldn't, then you couldn't have a democracy, you know. It's not that we have one, but we aspire to have one. But I do like also, just for the fun of it, the Scorpio rising, because she makes her double Scorpio, which makes sense, you know, cloaked, hidden, complex, sketchy,
dedicated,
and you know, another thing. But it puts her moon at 22 plus Pisces, which was Karl Rove's North Node and Dick Cheney's something. And there's two Sabians for that. One is a materializing, seance. And she did cahoot in the White House trying to invoke the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt, which we encourage that idea. But the other one, if you think of Cheney and Karl Rove, the other image for that degree is a ventriloquist with a wooden dummy entertains the crowd, which really works pretty well, too. So he's back there to that. So just reporting from the predictive astrology, calling South Park, because everything should be satirized. But using every predictive technique known to humans, Vedic, Chaldean, modern, they're all, relaxed or certain or whatever that Hillary's winning. Do you want to
Being an embassy on that? But it's funny because, of course, I agree with you. I don't do predictions or forecasting in that sense. I look at intent rather than trying to, quote, predict. There was a small contingent of astrologers, myself and Mark Jones and a couple of others that were there trying to say, yeah, we're here at this forecasting and prediction conference, but that breaks the spirit of the renaissance of astrology that's from the late 60s, early 70s, which was to move away from that deterministic, or the effect of outer forces approach.
Right.
And so we were the ones that were there keeping that particular element of it alive there.
Thank you very much. Yeah, because since we also get to invite our listeners to, in their hearts, still Day of the Dead-ish, invite in, help. We need all kinds of help. But I want to go back to Marsilio Ficino, great Renaissance astrologer, a colleague who was berating the astrologers of Florence for their superstition, predictive, inducing, abdication of autonomy, fear-inducing priesthood. Going, no, that's not what this is for. So we bring in Marsilio Ficino going, no, it's, the word consider with the stars, to align, to cooperate, to re-enter the dance. And that's where we're in cahoots. And I know also you wanted to say to proffer to us some complex thoughts about your current homeland, the Philippines.
It kind of goes into what we were speaking of before regarding looking at where the shadow is or where the hidden material is, and it's all coming out now. So, when I first arrived over here, I became obsessed with learning the history of my new homeland.
Yes.
And I became aware of the events that I certainly wasn't taught in school, which is how the U.S. subverted the Philippine Revolution. I mean, the Philippine revolutionaries were all students of Les Miserables and Thomas Jefferson, they had an indigenous revolution to throw out the Spanish. And just at the moment they succeeded, that was when the Americans defeated the Spanish Armada in the South China Sea. And the Filipinos thought that they were going to the Americans were going to embrace them, In fact, what happened was there was a 10-year guerrilla war, of which about 500,000 Filipinos died. And I learned about all of that hidden in our history, about the dark background of the Spanish-American War. Well, Duterte, the new president, who essentially was a student of the leader of the Philippine Communist Party back in the 60s and 70s, he basically learned all of that history. And so his view about the U.S. is that you have no right telling us what to do. You've never really apologized or even taken any responsibility for how many of the Filipinos were killed by you guys, and that we've been your colony and, little brown people kind of relationship. So he's basically saying we want no foreign troops of any kind in the Philippines. I think he's rather intelligent to not have the Philippines being in the middle of some sort of trumped up, no pun intended, war between the U.S. and China.
So no Chinese troops. No Chinese troops either.
Well, that's right.
Right.
And none. No foreign troops whatsoever. So he's closing down the bases. He's, basically the American, fed off the Philippines. They're now, really freaked out that By the way, he's very different than Trump. You know, Trump is a billionaire, and he's more, way more of the working class, and he's loved by the Filipinos.
Well, you said that when we were backstage, but I got to bring up, and we love complexity. You know, so over here we hear, and not just from mainstream, but whatever, that there are, you know, he's encouraged, you know, law and order and death squads to drug dealers or alleged drug dealers or drug addicts or alleged drug addicts, and many people have been killed, including children.
One thing that my wife, who is from the Philippines, who I met in Maui, we agree on most everything, and we have a conversation about this. There's been about 3,000 extrajudicial killings. 700,000 people have turned themselves in, which is rather interesting. By my own conscience and my own upbringing and so on, I'm opposed to extrajudicial killings. But what my wife says, and she says, I know this country. It is so unbelievably corrupt, nothing else will work. the police have been given immunity to go after, you know, drug dealers. By the way, for those that are curious about it, it's not like going after marijuana growers. I mean, we're talking about an epidemic of methamphetamine over here, brought in from China. You know, so when China criticized what they were doing, he said, well, shut up, China. 90% of the people who are turning themselves in are all Chinese. So you know, stop pulling our country with methamphetamine.
So if you were to light up a spliff or grow a couple acres of marijuana, would you be okay in the Philippines? Do they make that distinction?
That's not who they're going after. Although there's the Philippines has a long history of ever since Marcos of shutting down that level of involvement with drugs. There's not much of that around. I never run into any sign of marijuana over here at all. I mean, it's mainly cheap beer and methamphetamine. If you're rich and famous and you live in the upper elite areas, well then I'm sure they're doing their share of cocaine and everything else. It's hard for me to. I have my philosophy about it, you know. But yet the people here that are intelligent and are well bred in the whole thing and that have been educated at a high level. Well, it's the only thing that'll work in this country. But so, to me, there's like at least 9 or 10 things he's done over here. That's the only one that doesn't make any sense. The rest of it, I think, is great. Like telling the cardinal of the Catholic Church, you know, and like, you hypocrite, you know. It's like, yes, you say I keep mistresses, but so do you, and I know who they are, you know. And they're trying to institute a three child policy, you know. Which is basically there's no birth control. It's totally Catholicized here, except for where we live, which is a completely different area. It's an indigenous area. So be careful of just reading that the information about.
We love complexity, and we're right on our way out. While I'm announcing two things really fast, think of a well-wishing or a blessing. So Daniel and I will be reconvening on Monday night, election eve, at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can join us. We will be sending out announcements and also posting on CoyoteNetworkNews.com for that. Thanks always to Timmy Olmsted in Washington, D.C., and Erica Bridgman in Berkeley, and to Daniel Jamario. And there's any woofy words of composting all corruption, anything you want to send us out with, Daniel?
Composting all corruption. I cannot do any better than
all
that.
All right, let's do it. We're composting all corruption and turning it into nutrient for a culture of reverent renaissance. May it be so, against all odds. We like that. All right, thank you so much, Daniel, and I'll talk to you on Monday. Woof.
That sounds great. All right, thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
Concern himself, since we've been away from the African continent for 400 years, 300 or 400 years. Why should we concern ourselves? What impact does what happened to them have upon us? Number one.
For news, information, and analysis about Africa and the African diaspora, tune in weekly on Mondays at 7 p.m. to Africa Today with your host, Walter Turner. Africa Today is your source for being up to date on Africa and Africans. Mondays at 7 p.m., Africa Today on your Pacifica radio station, KPFA 94.1 FM.
Because of you, KPFA will be able to continue our wide-ranging, unfiltered coverage of this grave election season. Beginning Wednesday, November 2nd, through the day after Election Day, Wednesday, November 9th, join us for 7 days of fact-filled, inclusive reporting and analysis from the Bay Area's truly independent media outlet. Thanks again for supporting 94.1 KPFA.
This is Kevin Pina of Flashpoints, and I'm excited to be hosting a special evening featuring fearless activist Medea Benjamin. Medea has written a terrifically potent new book, Kingdom of the Unjust, Behind the U.S.-Saudi Connection. Medea will speak at a KPFA benefit, co-sponsored by Code Pink, on Tuesday, November 15th at the Hillside Club, 2286 Cedar Street in Berkeley. This event is wheelchair accessible, and tickets are available at brownpapertickets.com and supportive indie bookshops.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley.